I'd appreciate your prayers again this morning. I feel keenly the need of the mercy of the Lord to help. The thought that I have. The Lord has a storehouse. He said that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. So I might expect that the opposite of that would be true as well. Things that men don't pay much attention to can be very important to the Lord. In His storehouse, there are some peculiar treasures. He's very guarded. The things that are there for eternity. They can never be stolen. They can never be changed. They're set. There's a widow's mite there. It didn't buy very much in the temple, but it's precious in the Lord's sight. There is a cake of meal. Little woman of Zarephath, fixed for the prophet, is preserved for all eternity. There's five loaves and two small fishes. They're there for eternity. You see, in a way, what we bring to the Lord isn't as important as the way in which we bring it. He didn't ask that we bring Him so much. He just asked really that we give Him our heart. And everything depends on that. And that is what is a treasure in His sight. And the Lord has a way of taking those things that sometimes we might even think were an unnecessary gift. Also in that treasure house, there's a alabaster box. It's broken. It's a very impractical gift. If the purpose of the woman who poured that alabaster box on the Lord's feet had been to make Him cleaner, she'd have done a lot better with a bowl of water and a washcloth. But she was sitting at the table with Lazarus on one side of her and Jesus on the other. And it hadn't been so long ago that Lazarus was in the tomb. She thought of the best thing she had, whether it was practical or not. And she took that and broke it and poured it on the Lord. And He still got that box in His storehouse. It isn't so much whether what we bring the Lord is practical, as the world may look at it. His sight is the most precious. That's what He regards, isn't it? So I'm thinking of those five loaves and two fishes this morning. I'd like to speak about them by the Lord's help. It's recorded, it's obviously an important event in Jesus' life because it's recorded in three of the Gospels. I'll use Matthew's record of it. 14th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the 13th verse, starts with John Baptist's execution. Herod was in the mode of being a persecutor. Jesus knew of it. He was the Son of God. He had all power in heaven and earth. He had no need to flee from anyone. He never used His divine power for violence. You know, I think about that sometimes when I hear about the folks who believe that Jesus is coming back to earth and set up a literal kingdom. And there'll be wars and He'll win. When He was here, He never used His power for violence. His divine power, in any case, is obviously within His ability to do so. He withered up a fig tree once, but He didn't wither up a man. He could have. No, instead, when He saw that Herod was in a persecuting mode, or when He knew that he was, because His time was not yet come, He left the country. He got outside of Herod's jurisdiction. Scripture said when Jesus heard of it, meaning John's being put to death, He departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. But because He was a man of God, because He was God, it was hard for Him to be alone very long. So the people soon followed Him. People heard thereof, they followed Him on foot out of the cities. There's a lesson in that for us. Folks, just as God has a treasure, and it contains things that aren't very valuable to the world, I don't suppose If we had 20 alabaster boxes here in the room, we could pick out the particular one that lady had. That it wasn't encrusted with jewels that made it valuable. It was a sacrifice. So the other way around. Once we've found the Lord, He's precious to us. And we need to follow wherever He goes. You can't tell Jesus where to go. In this case, He made a decision to go into a desert place apart. He has a right to establish congregations, to lead and work with His people anywhere He chooses. But we are wise to get where the Lord is, where His people are, where His Spirit is moving. We needn't really ask Him to follow us. We're wise to follow the Lord. So that's what these folks did, for obvious reasons. They didn't come because they expected Him to do what He did. It had never been done before. They went because of what He was teaching and because of the healings. But isn't that why we follow Him too? Because of His teachings? Because of the changes made in us? Because of what life and salvation have brought us? Isn't that why we follow the Lord? And we're wise to follow Him wherever those things take us. And the healings, we can apply that broadly to life. I'd be afraid to face life if I didn't think the Lord would be my protector. It's dangerous in this world. And besides that, if the Lord are not our protector, it means if we should lose our lives, we'll lose our souls as well. I want to be where His protection is. So, Jesus went in the desert apart. They followed Him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. We got four Gospels that record the life of Jesus, and they contain in them any number of different incidents, things that Jesus did. And in every one of them, everything Jesus did was moved with compassion. It's the same way He works toward us. Isaiah wrote of it this way: in all their affliction He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity He redeemed them, and He bare them and carried them all the days of old. And speaking of the Israelites, but that is the spirit that the Lord has toward His people. The Lord Jesus embodied that spirit. All His dealings toward you and me too, their compassion. If He sends chastening, it's to draw us to Him. Every way that He deals with any of our lives is His mercy. This same compassionate Jesus wants to walk with you and me today in the very same way. He saw these people. He could have looked at them and said, why didn't you leave me alone? Didn't you know I went out into this place to be protected for a little while? He didn't look at that. He could have said to them, didn't you know when you went out into the desert, after a while you'd get tired or hungry and you need to go back? He didn't look at that. He looked at them in His compassion. I'm glad He does that. If the Lord judged me according to how foolish I've been sometimes, I'd be in a lot of trouble. But He's more like a father to me. I remember when my son was working with me, 4, 5, 6 years old. He'd get tired long before I did. I knew he was going to. And when I'd go out somewhere where he had to be with me all day, I'd take some blankets and some pillows in the truck, and I'd take some snacks along for him, because I didn't want him to get so he didn't like to go out where I was. And he'd get tired before I was not a man yet. The Lord understands too. When we get tired, when our hearts are heavy, when we've made foolish decisions and we got ourselves in trouble, He's still moved with compassion. He's the same Jesus. Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him saying, this is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. Isn't that a logical thing to say? But folks, we get in trouble when we start trying to counsel Jesus with human logic. Well, the Lord was merciful to them too, but they didn't anticipate at all what was going to happen in this event. You see, the Lord knew the people would be tired and they would be hungry, but He let them feel that, and He let the apostles realize the weight of it until they came to Him and sought Him of what we are to do about it. And I'd like to remark concerning this, you know what happened here, you've heard the story before, but I'd like to remark about it that just like all the miracles that Jesus did, every one of them show the way the kingdom operates. They are a pattern for all humankind. Jesus' miracles are never extravagant. They reach just to what the need is. Jesus had a way, even when He fed the multitudes, of concealing what He was doing. 5,000 besides women and children. How many? 10,000? It's quite a crowd. If He had just started, Abba Gabba, everybody look, pay attention, here comes the great power, lots of loaves of bread raining down from heaven, it created a stampede. Everybody want to see what's going on. He told them all to sit down. It's not here in this, but it's in the other places. He told them all to sit down, and when they were seated, then He said, what have we got? And they brought it to Him. They followed Him on foot, and Jesus went forth, and when it was evening, disciples came. He let them feel the need. Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give you them to eat. You feed them. They came to the Lord and they said, these people are hungry and they don't have anything. Let them go by. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. You feed them. How are we going to do that? They don't have anything. Well, we better look and see what we do have, because the Lord just told us to feed them, but we already know we don't have enough. And He looked around, and here's this little boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And here's a key to the whole thing. The Lord said, bring them thither to me. Folks, the Lord wants to feed the whole world the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you and I don't have any more ability to do it ourselves than these apostles did. But His command to you and me is still the same. What you have, bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord, and things start to change when it gets in Jesus' hands. My mother raised me and my brother and sisters, 5 of us, most of our lives isolated. We didn't have a congregation where she could attend. My mother told me she would go out into the barn and pray every morning, Lord, I don't know how to raise these children. Put in my mind what to do. You know, the Lord has a way of doing that. Bring scriptures to your mind. Bring thoughts or understandings what to do to your mind. I don't have anything to feed my children. Do you? How to go to heaven? I don't have the wisdom. But the Lord didn't say we had to have it. He always does the heavy lifting, folks. What He said for you to do, gather up what you got and bring it to me. And the other places say, well, it says it here, they need not depart, give ye to them, and they say unto Him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, then bring them to me, commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven. How do you pray when you give thanks for your food? Most of us look down, don't we? And where is God anyway? Isn't He really all around us, everywhere? I don't know how to explain this, but I read reverence into it. There was a link between Jesus and His Heavenly Father. And I have to think He was looking right into His Father's face, saying concerning this, this is what you sent me to the world to do, to feed the multitudes. Remember how they said in the Old Testament, if He's God, can He prepare a table in the wilderness? We can't follow Moses out here, out of Egypt. What are we going to eat when we get out there? The Lord wasn't pleased with that. They got out there and He did prepare a table for them in the wilderness. And then the scribes and the Pharisees said to Him, After that, can he feed without it? Here he fed the multitude, and it's not in the same manner, and it's not in the same place. There's plenty of room for us to believe in the Lord, folks. He knows how to supply our literal needs. He knows also how to supply our spiritual needs. He's made provision for us long before we came into this world. It's always a cooperative effort. There's a part for us to do. Somebody's got to give him the 5 loaves and the fishes. Somebody's got to sit down on the grass. Somebody else has got to stand by the Lord's side while he takes the bread and breaks it and the fish and blesses that and breaks it right into individual-sized portions. The Lord's got just the portion that you need and just the portion that I need. And he'll get it to me when the time comes. Our job is to be prepared to do what's not really so hard. It's not very glamorous, you know, being a waitress, serving tables. That's not very glamorous, especially. Most of the Lord's work is not very glamorous. Most of it really is not very difficult. It's just a matter of giving him what you got. And he has a way of blessing it. So he did with these. Give them to eat. You say, have here 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Took them thither to him. He commanded the multitude and took the loaves and 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed. What did he bless? Did he bless the loaves? Did he bless the fishes? How do you bless a piece of bread? How do you bless a fish? This scene is repeated at the Last Supper. The Lord took the unleavened bread and he blessed. And he took the cup and he blessed. Who did he bless? How do you bless a cup of grape juice? He blessed God. He blessed God. You can't bless a bench. You can't bless a tree. They're not in that same category. Blessing is to people. Blessing is to God. He looked up and he blessed God. Lord, I thank you in so many words what you're doing with us. I there's such devotion in this. I came to try to save these people. I'm going to offer myself for their sins. You've worked with me and brought us into a place now. There's 5,000 men here besides women and children. And here you've given me this chance not only to teach them about you, but to show them this physical evidence of your love. And I bless you for that, Lord. All these centuries you've been working with your people to bring them to this point. I'm grateful for it. It's a good plan. Did you know the Lord feels that way when he works with you and me in our individual lives? He works out the details, the things that are important to us. We ought to bless him for that and thank him for his mercy. It's not blessing the bread. What would that prove? His blessing God. He's got a plan in your life and mine, folks, just as much as he had for these folks, just as real. He wants to teach us just as well. There is no better way we can live than to abide in the plan of God. Took them, blessed them, break them, gave the loaves to his disciples. Disciples to the multitude. They all ate and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And then they give the number. I think of a song that says, I'm only an earthen vessel. The graces within are not mine, but the love and the power and glory belong to the Savior divine. I suppose all of us who try to live for the Lord have some experiences that we don't know how to explain. And I have mine too. Or some of them we don't talk about very much because they're personal. But I'm going to share one of mine with you this morning, if you'll be tolerant with me to do so. Last night, I was studying and praying, considering about the scriptures, about the congregation, about the church in the world. My life has been wrapped up in that. I love it. I love it. I understand some of what Paul meant when he said, is any offended, and I burn not? And if any are blessed, don't I rejoice? We've got a baptizing plan before very long. That's such good news. I'm so glad for every advance. Anyway, those things were on my mind. And my time came to finish the studies and to lie down. And I did. There's a place I've found, maybe you too, where your mind starts to drift from thinking logical thoughts, just relaxing to go wherever it wants to go. Not really in control of your thoughts, but not unaware of what you're thinking either. Do you know that place? The Lord spoke to me. And he said, I have given you my umbrella. And I thought about what an umbrella is. When I woke up this morning and was considering about it. An umbrella doesn't stop the storm. The rain still goes on all around you, but it makes a dry place for you to go. You can move about in it. You have to be careful with it, but it'll protect you. And I suppose that's what I want more than anything, much as anything, for the Lord to give us a place for our congregation, for the souls that we love, when the storm is raging, when the clouds are fierce, tornadoes coming, something to shelter from the rain and protect us. The scripture said in Isaiah, thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, from the blast of the terrible ones is a storm against the wall. Those things go on in the world, and all about us we see unhappy souls caught in the storm with no refuge. We spend our lives and our time doing all we can by the Lord's help to be in a place where he can protect us. We can't stop what's coming in our nation. We can't stop the tide of sin in our own families, among our own loved ones. But to have the Lord give us some of his shelter. So the rain's all around you, but it runs off. It doesn't hurt you. You can walk where you need to go. You can be protected. And that's my testimony this morning. The Lord spoke to me that way, halfway between waking and sleeping. I found it very comforting. I don't think it's just to me. I think that's the way the Lord wants it to be in every one of his congregations and among his people. His word is a shelter to us. It's an umbrella from the storm and the rain and the trouble that are about us. Folks, there are no words to express how much the Lord loves us. All the ways he moves toward us are his compassion. We ought to be thankful. We ought to bless the Lord for everything that comes in our lives. For the loaves and the fishes, that's common fare. There's no caviar here. There's no expensive champagne. It's just common food, but it's enough. And to have that, just enough in life, just enough, and to have the Lord teach you like he did these folks. Folks, that'll get us to heaven. That'll get us to heaven. And if we'll follow him just like he found a way to feed those, he'll find a way to protect us from the storm of life. That's my little thought for this morning. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention. May the Lord go with us, everyone, and keep us from the storm and from the peril of the world about us. Amen.